we've learned a couple of things. One is that Trump knows that he's supposed to be generous. He understands that that's part of the role of a wealthy person in America, and he wants to play that role. He wants to appear generous and has for many years, but that he's also for years tried to inflate his giving by promising things that he doesn't give or by giving gifts that are actually other people's money. We've seen that again and again and again. Whenever he has a chance to have somebody else pay for his generosity and him get the credit, he will. And in some many cases, he's willing to promise something publicly and then never deliver on it.
So what's been going on lately with sort of your crowdsourced effort? You've been very active on Twitter. You've been on other platforms, including in the Washington Post, urging people to get back to you about clues, paintings, items, things that might shed some light on this thing. So describe sort of your crowdsourcing effort, what it's been like, what you've been hearing, what's going on?
So we know a little bit about Trump's giving because we have the tax returns of Trump's charitable foundation. I've been putting pieces of that out on Twitter and asking people for help. A couple of examples. One, in 1989, when the Trump Foundation had just begun, Trump's charity, it gave a $7 grant to the Boy Scouts. $7. That's the smallest grant it's ever given in its history. And I thought, well, there's no way I'll ever figure out what the heck that is. $7 to the Boy Scouts, I'm sure they don't have records going back. I put that out to my Twitter followers, and in the space of a car ride, they had figured it out. And it was, in 1989, it cost $7 to register a new scout with the Boy Scouts. If you were signing up a scout for that year, the registration fee was $7. So in October of 1989, when Donald Trump's son, Donald Jr., was 11, the right age for the scouts, his foundation paid $7 to the Boy Scouts, which was the registration fee. I don't know for sure that it was Donald Jr.'s registration fee, but that's certainly one possibility.
Does that qualify as a scandal that when a dad probably signed up his kid for the scouts, he used foundation charitable money and not his personal money?
Well, it's against the law if he did that. And it also shows you something about Donald Trump and charity, which is that we've found a lot of recent examples where he's used the money in his charity to benefit himself, to buy portraits of himself, that one of them ended up hanging on the wall of his resort, to pay off legal debts involving his for-profit businesses. We know now that he uses the Trump Foundation to buy things and to help himself or to do things that help his businesses, and that's called self-dealing. It's the first rule of charities. It's against the law. You can't take the money in your charity and use it to benefit yourself. What this Boy Scout thing shows us is that's the way it's been since the beginning. 2 years after Trump starts the Trump Foundation, he just signed the bylaws that said you can't do this. He's doing it. He's using the Trump Foundation to buy things for himself. In fact, the first year he had it, like the 15th thing he bought with the Trump Foundation's money was a membership to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Again, a thing you can't buy for yourself with your charity's money.
So you've got a notebook down here on the table between us. Just describe for me what we're looking at here.
Trump's campaign has always said that he gives tens of millions of dollars out of his own pocket, but they won't give him any details about who he's given that money to, and I can't find any evidence that he really's given it. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to try to prove Donald Trump right. And so I started back in June with, number one, the Achilles International Foundation, and the list is now at page... the last page, I'm almost running out of paper in this notebook. I'm at number 435 charities. And I've called all of them to say, has Donald Trump ever given you a gift out of his own pocket? You know, I'm looking for these tens of millions he says he gives away. Did you get any of it? And there's a really surprising answer in these 435 charities, which is Donald Trump never gave very much money out of his own pocket. But between 2008 and this May, that's a period of 7 years, I can find, this search has turned up one gift out of his own pocket, one gift, for less than $10,000. That was back in 2009. That's all that I can find that he gave out of his own pocket in that seven-year span, less than $10,000.
Let's take a second here and just, why don't I have you run, there's so many entries here, why don't I have you run down your list? Mm-hmm. Let's hear you go down all this unbelievably mosaic work you put together here.
Sure, well, we'll just start at the beginning. Number one, Achilles International Foundation. He's never given to them. The ACLU Foundation of Florida, never given to them. The AIDS Service Center of New York, never given to them. Then we have the Alliance for Lupus Research. That actually was the one he did the Ice Bucket Challenge video for. I can't find any evidence he's ever given to them, but the charity, no comment, so I can't be sure. American-Australian Association, no comment. The American Cancer Society, no comment. The American Conservative Union Foundation, never. He's never given them money. The American Foundations for AIDS Research, never. If you go down the list, you see actually, here's one that he actually did give money, the American Jewish Committee, but the last time he gave to them was in 2000. So that's what I found. Sometimes you find that Trump gave money out of his own pocket, but it's always in relatively small amounts, and it's always before 2008.
So what you've got here is the word never in black letters in lots of entries. You've got at least a 2000 in red ink here.
Yeah, 2000. That's the few ones, and I found out of 435, maybe 20, where they actually said, yes, he did give us money out of his own pocket. I wrote the year that he last gave money to them in red ink. So that's why you see a 2000 there. He last gave to them in 2000.
All right.
So I have a few more days to try to find somebody. I'm going to keep pushing until the end.
So you're crowdsourcing this. You're getting, I'm sure, lots of messages and calls from just about everywhere. You're sort of famous now in this election cycle for good reason. People are calling in. What kinds of things are you getting from out there in the universe?
Oh, well, there's one that I just, this is the kind of thing that I would never have found on my own. I got an email the other day from somebody who'd followed my work on Twitter, and she said, I used to work at something called the Association to Benefit Children in New York. It's a children's charity in Manhattan. And you will not believe what Donald Trump did at that charity in the 1990s. And it was the most amazing story that I never would have happened on otherwise. She said, in 1996, this charity is having a ribbon cutting for a new nursery school they're opening for children with AIDS. And as everybody's getting ready, the news photographers are there. They saved a seat of honor right next to Mayor Giuliani, saved a seat of honor for a guy named Stephen Fisher, who's a big developer in New York and had given a lot of money to build this new nursery school they were inaugurating. Donald Trump had given no money to that charity. He hadn't given anything to help this nursery school. He wasn't invited. Trump shows up anyway and goes up on the stage and sits in that guy's seat, steals the seat of the actual donor. And when I heard this story, I thought, well, there's no way that could really be true. That just sounds impossible. But this tipster who'd heard about me on Twitter says, okay, call this person. I called the head of the charity, and she said, yes, I've been waiting years to tell this story. Here's how it is. She had pictures of Donald Trump sitting up there doing the Macarena with all these people while the person who actually had given the money was left in the audience. And the woman had the email she'd sent to the real donor the next day to say, please, please, I beg you for forgiveness for letting Donald Trump steal your seat. It's the kind of thing that I never would have found on my own, but it's an amazing story that's just sort of come to me, as a number of them have during this election.
A lot of political journalists have this sort of frustrated trope now among themselves, which is nothing matters. No matter what facts come out, people just stick to what they believe. I think especially with Donald Trump, people are frustrated that no matter how bad the news gets, things that would have destroyed other candidates a long time ago. Does your reporting and people's reaction to it inform your belief about whether, you know, sigh, nothing matters?
Yeah, I was frustrated earlier this year when people kept saying that during the primary, especially, nothing matters, nothing matters. I mean, of course all this matters, and I think it matters to voters. I think voters, you know, even if they're not, if you don't see a huge change in the vote totals or the polls when you write your story, people care, and they're reading about this, and they learn something from it. That's what we're here. We wouldn't be here if nothing mattered. I've heard people describe Trump as sort of a denial-of-service attack on journalism, and that, like, the way we were used to processing sort of outrageous comments by candidates was to, like, spend days dissecting them. Imagine the way we treat Clinton, the way with Clinton, when she goes off message and says something she wasn't supposed to, like basket of deplorables, how many days were spent to, like, parsing that and parsing her explanation and her apology and things like that. Trump will say something that's outrageous, that you said would have killed some other candidate off, and then the next day he says something else. And so people, before we've really digested the first thing, we're on to the next thing. And that's been what's been satisfying for me, is that I feel like I get to tell one story about him. And so sometimes it's really big in the news, sometimes it's not big in the news, but the whole time I'm not getting distracted. I'm staying with this one thing that I think really matters, which has been great.
David Farenthold, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.